train. Where do you go to find something you could eat? Cause the word out on the street is you are starving. Don't let yourself go hungry now. Don't let yourself go cold. Fox in the snow. Where do you go to find someone who will do? To tell someone all the truth before it kills you. Listen to your crazy laugh before you hang a right and disappear from sight. What do they know anyway? You read it in a book. What do they know anyway? You read it in a book tonight. Boy on the bike, what do you like? Cause you cycle round the town. You're going up, you're going down, you're going nowhere. It's not as if they're paying you. Not as if it's fun, at least not anymore. When your legs are black and blue, it's time to take a break. When your legs are black and blue, time to take a holiday.
Sorry, I just ruined that song for everyone that was listening. Inkstud CITR 101.9 FM. I am late today for the first time ever, as I got a mean look from Mr. Luke Meat on my way in. Today, I'm late because I was stuck with my guest today, Shannon O'Leary.
Hi.
Here, I'm just going to put that mic right there in your face. Yeah, Shannon O'Leary, who is in town today to launch her new book, Pet Noir, at everyone's favorite bilingual bookstore, Sophia Books.
Multilingual.
They have things in other than Canada's two precious languages, English and French.
They have a Japanese phone line.
They have a Japanese phone line?
Mm-hmm.
Dope. Now I'm going to call there and ask for odd things. Now before I get too sidetracked, Shannon's book, Pet Noir from Manic D Press, a book of odd but true crime stories involving animals.
Yes.
Now, at that first initial description, it makes it sound like a story of animals being criminals, but in fact, for the most part, predominantly, people are the criminals.
Yeah. Actually, I think the book points more to human folly than it does any animal folly. And even in the stories that involve animals causing any kind of criminal mischief or mayhem, I think it points to some human's folly in the matter.
There we go. I very much enjoyed the book.
Thanks.
How long had you been working on it for?
Well, I initially self-published the book, self-published three stories. And then right after I...
And these are the ones that you wrote that are in here?
No, I wrote some other stories, and then I illustrated a story for the book that Manic D came out with. But I did just... I initially just wrote three stories that are in the book. The dog mauling case, the story called The Freeway Incident, and the Petaluma Cat Lady. And
I love the cat lady.
It's a pretty good story. I think that's probably my favorite story in the book, actually. But after a self-published version of the comic came out, pretty quickly, the Animal Legal Defense Fund, an animal rights group with offices in Portland in the Bay Area, contacted me, and they said, oh my God, we have to do something together, because they fight for the rights of animals through the legal system. And so I said, okay, well, sure, maybe we will. And then Manic D became interested in doing a book in it, and so they let us work from their case files.
Wow.
Yeah. So they saw it as a way to, like, my initial interest in the book, in the subject matter, was as an ironic take on the media's sensationalizing true crime or sensationalizing anything, like Britney Spears' shaved head.
Which we will get into further in the show.
Yeah,
Shannon and I
we
both...
We will?
Oh, yes, we will,
yeah,
Colin.
We will.
Oh,
yeah.
We bonded over our...
our mutual obsession about Britney Shears.
And she's back in rehab. Number three.
Third try. Third time's a charm, I hear.
She's not a charmer, though.
No, she's not.
Now, the reason we played the Bell and Sebastian song, basically said, let's play some animal-related music, and the Fox in the Snow was a nice, gentle romp, and, you know, it's a nice, lovely way to start the show, the Inkstud Happy Hour. And I gotta mention, Colin's here with us as well.
Hi.
Hi, Colin.
Hello.
Colin patiently waiting for us with our mildly delayed arrival. I'm gonna make fun of us throughout the whole thing. Now, we're gonna come up with a skill testing question for the Pet Noir book.
Oh, that's right, skill test.
Skill testing question. I don't know what the skill testing question's gonna be yet.
Yeah, I was ready to just, you know, out of generosity, just the first person that goes to Sophia Books tonight and mentions that they heard us on the air today.
Well, I thought we should get someone to call in.
Yeah, you're right. I'm liking your skill test idea, too.
There we go.
It's pretty good.
So we'll come up with a good skill testing question. The phone number here at CITR in Vancouver, 101.9 FM. The phone number is UBC CITR. That's 604-822-2487. And if you call in before we get the skill testing question, we're going to bring you right on the air. We don't have, like, you know, special, like, operators standing by. The operator is me with a button. So, you know, we'll bring you right on the air. And if you say anything obnoxious, it's going to be on the air, and I can't do the five-second delay.
Is that the skill testing question, then?
Say something obnoxious?
Hey, that's a pretty good one. Maybe it should be in... Maybe it should be animal related somehow.
Yeah.
What's the name
of Paris Hilton's dog?
That's excellent.
Wait, does Paris Hilton have a dog?
Yeah.
Oh, you would not win the skill test if it was open to you.
Well, yeah. No. Okay. What's about Stephen Dion's dog's name?
Who the hell is Stephen Dion?
Do you mean Celine Dion?
The Liberal Party. Is it Stephen Dion?
Oh, I've really been bad for a political science student. I've been paying no attention to Canadian politics.
He's the leader of the Liberal Party now.
Oh, okay.
If I've got the name right.
Stéphane Dion?
Yeah, yeah. And he, what's the name of his dog?
Maurice the Rocket Richard.
Well, it's a skill testing question. That's why it's out there.
People prove me wrong for... Prove that he did not name his dog after the legendary hockey player Maurice and the Rockets of Richard. Pet Noir, a lot of names I don't know in here. The only name actually that I did know was Mary, Mary Fleener.
And Fly.
And Fly, yes, Fly, who came to town years ago. I don't know.
Actually, she was at the last Broken Pencil Canzine West.
Was she?
Yes.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't make it because I had something happening that day. I think it was at the comic store.
Yeah, she came to the reading that I did with Abby Denson in New York.
Oh, okay.
So it was nice to see her. But yeah, there's a lot of emerging, as the term would go, comic artists in there. So
how did you find them, network with them?
Just at conventions and posting and things like that. I actually, for the first three stories, I pretty much Mari Naomi, who does a series called Estrus. She illustrated the San Francisco dog mauling case. Her work has appeared in the Comics Journal, Not My Small Diary. Have you heard of that anthology?
Oh, yes. Delaney, is it?
I'm not sure who what the editor's name is.
It's a collection of autobiographical stories.
Yeah, of course, they do a theme.
Right up Colin's alley.
And she's also, I think she's also in two porn.
Okay.
So she was, you know, the only experienced comics artist in the first three stories. And I kind of was kind of getting my feet wet and just really wanted to do a comic book, and like, have been really pleased with how the idea just has taken off and has been, you know.
So it's getting a lot of people are paying attention to it, and you're...
Yeah, I think that, you know, it was actually, we were just doing a book tour. This is the last stop on the book tour. I was with Trevor Alexopoulos, who just did a graphic novel called Mine Tonight. He illustrated and wrote the cougar nursing story. In addition to true pet crime stories, sensational media stories, we also have a kind of more autobiographical section in the book about personal pet crime stories called Pet Crime Confidential. And Trevor did a story called... Oh, sorry, that's my phone. no, that's not what it's called. It's called Cougar Nursing 101. It's about all the wacky mayhem that ensues when a prison nurse from San Quentin decides to take in a mountain lion as a pet.
That was a crazy story.
Isn't it crazy?
There was like all these different layers to it.
Yeah.
And it just got worse and more horrible and more horrible.
Yeah. It kind of has an inevitable conclusion to it. It's,
yeah.
As one would imagine.
Yeah.
But, no.
You know, even though the stories, they are about, mostly about cute, fluffy animals, mm-hmm. a lot of them are really kind of dark.
Yeah, there's definitely the, like, it's definitely like for people who appreciate dark comedy, for sure. So I think there's some cute, fluffy, one-page pieces in there. Like, Mary Fleener's It's pretty cute. That's, but it's got a little darkness to it as well.
Well, I think that's the dog from one of her short stories. Correct me wrong,
Yeah, I think
Colin.
It's for Fifi.
Yeah, Fifi, yeah. And that was the... What was the story with Fifi?
Oh, I don't remember.
There's Fifi. It was her grandparents' dog. Was that it?
I can't remember.
Mary... Where are you?
We're not being very good nerds.
Not nerdular.
We're not being...
I do remember the story Mary did about removing homemade cat food and having to remove the pieces of onion from
her cat's ass.
Yes. That I do remember. That's kind of vivid.
Yeah, we were really happy to have her involved in the book, actually.
We're all...
Not just because of the cat's ass
heart. That poor kitty.
Awesome.
She is awesome. And it must be fun to be able to get people that you really like to do stuff.
Yeah. It's just been a great project. I've made a lot of great friends through it, and I've been really happy that it could turn into something that could end up helping animals as well. Like I said, when I first started the book, I thought it would be a cute take on how the media sensationalizes crime, but a portion of profits from the book are going to go to support the efforts of the Animal Legal Defense Fund.
And the rest is going to pay for your pool.
Yeah. Big money in them that are comics.
Yeah. For people that don't know, comics are probably one of the most lucrative industries you can get into.
Absolutely. It's like
next to button making.
Tech stock.
Yeah.
Definitely go out and buy stock in top shelf.
We're rich as poets.
That's poetry.
Where's Rich's poetry? Actually, you know, we did myself, Mari, Trevor, and Jesse Recklaw does Slow Wave, the comic about people's dreams.
I don't know it.
You don't know it? Oh, God. Well, we just did a book fair in Seattle that was primarily poetry. And I represent Manic D and friends there. And we noticed that people who like poetry love more money than Zinesters. It's very fascinating.
No, Manic D is mainly a lit publisher, right?
Well, Manic D does they have a lot of other comic titles, like Keith Knight published with them for years. Abby Jensen's book came out through them. But they I think they've won a lot of awards in poetry, for poetry and things like that, which I'm not, as I discovered at the poetry fair when people would ask me questions about it, I'm not very good with.
Yeah. I've got a bunch of Bukowski books at home, and that's about as poetic as I get.
Yeah.
I want a Kerouac poetry book. It's a little tiny thing. It's really oh, I think I have some Blake, too.
Me, too.
I have some Edna St. Vincent Millay.
That's a long name.
Yeah. She did the My Candle Burns at Both Ends. She came up with that phrase. She's like a flapper poet.
Flapper poet.
Yes.
Did she do the Charleston?
I think she just sort of personified flapperdom. She was a, you know, an it girl of her day. They knew how to have it girls back then.
Our it girls today, which we'll get into a little bit, definitely do not.
They leave something to be desired. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Robin and I both have some pretty firm opinions on that.
Now, I'm going to remind people, the reason Shannon is here today, not only talk about her book, Pet Noir, and talk about Britney Spears and her lack of hair, is she's doing a signing tonight at Sophia Books.
Signing and a reading.
And a reading.
Yeah.
So call in if you'd like to get a copy of Pet Noir signed by Shannon. Be able to pick up at the signing and reading tonight at Sophia Books, 822-2487. And what's the name of Paris Hilton's dog? And if you don't know the name of Paris Hilton's dog, Google it quick. I'm going to play a song quickly. I'm going to play Love Cats by The Cure.
Oh, no.
Meow. Hiss. Meow. We'll be back. And I've got a whole bunch of information to let people know too. So, thanks, Studs. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
Studs, CITR 101.9 FM. That was Love Cats by The Cure. Anyone know what album that's from?
A Cure album.
Something that has a guy that looks like a clown on the front, looking sad. Sorry to all Cure fans out there.
With Wild Mood Swings.
Wild Mood Swings, thank you. Thank you, that's a Hamish in the background there. He's gonna be like our, I don't know, the shot caller?
He's eye candy.
Hey! That only I can see.
Eye candy on the radio. That's like a good name for a band.
Radio eye candy? I'm just like...
I have a question.
Shoot.
Yeah, I was wondering. Just from casual observation, I seem to notice that most cartoonists are cat people.
Hmm.
Does that... Did you find that when you were putting together this book?
You know, I think I would probably have to agree with you. I think it would probably, like, I'm a dog person myself, but I would have to agree with you that it does fit with most cartoonists' reserved nature. Being to have, like, a dog be, like, all
jumpy and...
Yeah, yappy and needing attention all the time. You need something that could just, like, hang out in a corner while you're... Well, you're boring everyone else and alienating everyone else, drawing for hours and hours.
So, when you were doing like a cat story, would you get a cat person to draw it? Or when you're doing a dog story, would you look for a dog person to draw it?
No, I was actually just, I really went for, I really wanted to give artists like a lot of leeway and see what they were interested in doing. Like, would kind of give them selections from very, like, when we started putting the actual book together as opposed to the first self-published comic, like, I wanted to give people like a selection of the stories to work from, like, which one they would think was most fun to draw. And then the people who did the ones in the Pet Crime Confidential section, I was like just come up with your own story. So, like, John Isaacson, who's releasing a book with Microcosm about a DIY silk screening guide, graphic novel. Yeah.
I think I've heard about something about... I don't know.
He's been doing mini comics for a while, I bet. But he really wanted to do... he does a lot of comics, like, about... ecological comics, like about, like, you know, the oil crisis and everything. And
there's an oil crisis.
He thinks so. I don't know. Crazy East Bay cartoonist. That's part of the Bay Area. It's called the East Bay.
Word.
California. So.
Oh, we're on the west side here.
Yeah. West side. But he wanted to do a story, I think, that would reflect some of his conservationist beliefs. I don't know if that's correct, use the word conservationist, but he wanted to...
Sounds right.
Sounds about right. Yeah. But he wanted to do a story that would touch on, like, some of his beliefs about that. So he did a story called A Fed Bear is a Dead Bear about people... feeding bears in the near Lake Tahoe, and how it got the bears hooked on human food, and then the bears became a nuisance because they would come around looking for human
and dependent
food.
On it.
Yeah, and this, like, about like what park rangers would have to do to kind of, you know, control the bear problem that they had in fact created.
So they threw them into the desert.
Yeah,
we have a similar problem here.
Really?
Well, yeah.
Well, with bears?
Yeah. People feed bears.
Well, in North Vancouver, the bears go through the garbage dumps. So
sometimes into people's yards.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
We're in the wild in Vancouver.
It's So do they have culver traps? I think that's what it's called.
I think if a bear shows up, you'll call the animal control and they'll come in to shoot him with the trank dart. And
wow, it sounds just like the comic.
Mm-hmm.
Comic meets reality.
Yes.
But this is the suburbs we're talking about.
Wow. It's bears in the suburbs. I don't like Canada, except for the border police.
Yeah,
except if there's any border police listening tomorrow, like Saturday when I go back across the border, I love you.
Ink Studs are supporters of our men and women in uniform.
No, we're not.
Oh.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of funny because I was looking at other radio comic podcasts and Fanboy Radio was doing a thing about Heroes for Heroes, about people in the military. And like, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't support the military.
Good for you.
There we go. Ink Studs. Oh, no. I'm speaking for myself, Colin. Do you want to make a statement?
No.
I will. Pat Noir doesn't support the military either.
There we go.
Doesn't really come up much.
I think I can say that everyone involved in the project, from the publisher to, you know, every single last artist of all the 21 artists that are involved in the book, probably does not support the military. Either Canadians. Either Canada's or America's. So, especially not America's.
I don't know. If there was a Hitler to hunt down and, you know, rescue people being brutalized, but when your actual army is the one doing it. Yeah.
I was just trying to cover our asses here, you know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Come on, they have, what's her name? I forget the person that's a really political show, but lots of people do lots of political stuff. Yeah, you had a horrible time at the border.
I did.
I think everyone needs to hear about this, because the same thing happened with Abby Denson. Now, her story was...
Abby Denson had a hard time at the border?
She had a hard time. She said that she took the train.
Right.
Up, and she got off the train, and she said she was meeting people that she met on the internet, and...
Oh, dear.
The border people, if you see the internet, it pretty much means, you know, I've come to have sex with young boys.
Yeah, I've come to have sex. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And do amyl nitrate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do and whippets.
Especially if you have a yaoi comic with you.
A yaoi
comic? Yeah, Abby's book is like a... Well, yaoi comics are gay male teenage
okay.
love stories written by girls. And I think Abby... doesn't identify it as a yaoi comic, but it's influenced by yaoi.
It's a great comic, though. Check it out.
It's awesome. It's totally awesome.
We were very happy to have her on here last year, and she was fun to hang out with at the Small Press Expo. And Matt Locks, her boyfriend, was just on here a little while ago.
Oh, he was. Yeah. I like his new book. It's really good. I forget what it's called, but it's good. Like
Side Scrollers.
Yes.
Excellent book. Now, I have to do a kind of a service announcement thing. Today at CITR is Black History Day. I did a little quotes in the air. It's but February, as everyone knows, is Black History Month, and it's like really important to recognize, you know, important parts of Black history. And unfortunately, I didn't know they had this booked, and I already had Shannon booked to talk about Pet Noir that she'll be signing at Sophia Books and doing a reading tonight at 7 o'clock. Sophia Books, multilingual bookstore in Hastings Street, 7 o'clock. Do you know the address?
Oh,
no.
500 block, I think.
West Hastings. But check out some good black cartoonists. Kyle Baker did some great stuff about, you know, black figureheads in comics, doing a story, Captain America Truth, about the original Captain America being a testing on black soldiers. Great stuff. Hoshi Anderson does some great stuff. Another African American. Keith Knight. There we go. Check out comics by black folk, yo. There's some great ones. And I do hope to kind of do something to recognize something at another time. But next month I will be doing something for half of the population. Is March has International Women's Day on February 8th.
Woohoo!
So that day we will have
March 8th, did you mean?
March 8th?
Yeah.
Did I say February 8th?
You did, yeah. It's okay.
Don't hate me, feminist.
I don't hate you. I'm a feminist.
There we go. It's okay to say you're a feminist in 2007. Unless Hillary Clinton said she's one again, then I would...
Yeah, I would have
not
a problem with that, too.
So, yeah, next month we're going to be joined by such luminary guests as Roberta Gregory, Gabrielle Bell, Ellen Forney, and Liz Prince.
Ooh, nice. Nice lineup of
It's a good group of people.
Yeah.
Of women cartoonists.
Of lady cartoonists, yeah.
Lady cartoonists. I'll say it like that. Hello! So, you do comics, huh? How's it going?
So, what kind of brush stroke?
So,
so we're gonna do a public.
I was just mentioning
my thrilling border story.
Let's talk more about the border story.
Oh, yeah,
it's pretty horrible.
Well, you know, I had, I was, my car got searched at the border, and they found some animal rights brochures in with all of my like little travel folder that I put together with everywhere I was staying on this tour and. And they came back and they said, all right, now would be a good time to come clean with us. I said, what for? And they said that, you know, they just pointed at the animal rights brochure and they said, you have this animal rights brochure. They didn't even say this is the animal rights brochure. They just implied by the way they pointed at it, this terrorist organization.
Animal freedom is what we like to call it.
Very bad. So then they were trying to, you know, they had to call Sophia's books and, you know, make sure I wasn't coming into, like, I stayed at a hostel last night, and they said, you have a hostel information next to this animal rights brochure. Like, don't you think you should tell us what you're up to?
What did you do, blow up the hostel?
Yeah. Or maybe I was going to have, like, a meeting at the hostel with other terrorist animal rights sympathizers. But, so, yeah, they just went on for a while. And then I actually was exchanging some emails with the Animal Legal Defense Fund's communications director, and I told her about what happened, and she said, welcome to my world. She's had her entire laptop searched at the same border before. Yeah. So
if you're going across the border, don't bring any animal rights information. Don't have nuclear weapon plans on your laptop, because that might get you into trouble.
Yeah, but maybe if you have guns and are going to go hunting, they'll totally understand that.
Yeah, well, as long as you have permits.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I think they're fairly strict about guns across the border.
If you have permits, you're fine.
Huh.
My friend's dad bought an AK-47 back.
Really?
He lived in Quebec, and he had to get it sent to the police office in the small town he lived in. And the great part is he's an Anglophone. It's a very Francophone town. So there's a big thing in the newspaper about the crazy Anglophone.
The Anglos are arming themselves.
The crazy Anglo getting
crazy
an AK-47.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's a great story.
Great. Just don't be Arab with an AK-47 or an animal rights terrorist, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, I think these people are not animal rights terrorists, and they're pretty white. I'd say their last name, but I'm going to respect their anonymity. Anonymity. Now, Pet Noir, tell us about some of the stories. One of the ones I really liked was the tiger breeders.
Oh, the a tiger's tail story. Yeah. That story actually came directly from the Animal Legal Defense Fund's case files. And it's about a guy who was a dealer and of exotic cats. And it kind of, like, it was just such an interesting story to research as well. Just because he kind of had, like, one of the things I've learned a lot about doing this project is animal hoarders, like people who hoard animals. And here's this guy who was supposed to, they always think that they're helping animals. And here was this guy who I think thought that he was helping animals. He was, like, you know, had this tiger sanctuary and everything, but they were kept in pretty, you know, squalid conditions. And he ended up, like, I think the most horrible facts of the case was that there were they found when his sanctuary was raided, they found 50 dead tiger cubs in a freezer. And we just started, like, when we did some readings in Portland, someone who works at the Animal Legal Defense Fund, Roxanne Netanyahu, came and said a few words about Animal Legal Defense Fund and how the comics medium can help them, you know, kind of get these stories across in a way that is that's not going to make people super depressed and upset. And one of the things she said is that they're like, which we didn't even know, was that when there's no, he said that he was keeping these cubs for to do a post-mortem on them to see what happened to them, and there's actually, that's not how you do a post-mortem. I guess
do it while keeping, they're warm and
so just you find out things like that. But I guess like that's one of the strengths of using this medium for stories like this, is that you can, it kind of presents it in a way to people that's going to be informative and then is not going to make them, you know, just completely bitter about people. So
it's an actual mental condition, animal hoarding.
Well, you know, it's one of the things, like, there's another story in the book, the Petaluma Cat Lady, that, that we have, like, a lot of hoarding facts, I'm using quotation marks, and where, like, they, I think it is a mental condition, but I think it's, like, a part of a obsessive-compulsive disorder, like, people, you know, I think, like, some form of obsessive-compulsive disorder, people can't throw things away. And same thing with, like, people who hoard animals. They kind of treat them like possessions.
Well, there's the crazy cat lady story in there.
Yeah, the Petaluma cat lady story. We kind of, we wanted to distinguish those two stories from each other, like, you know, because here, like, because the way that, the, one of the things that was most interesting to me about the Petaluma cat lady story was that it really kind of, here, I'll spread some of my feminist agenda, but they really...
Dave Sim, if you're listening, turn the radio off now.
He doesn't even listen to the radio anymore, I'm sure.
And he probably has, like, a weird little wireless that only gets CBC AM.
FM.
But they, no, AM. It's that ghetto.
They I felt like with a lot of the publicity for that case, they were really trying to use it to kind of perpetrate the spinster myth, you know, like of a old woman alone with a bunch of cats, and see, you're gonna go crazy if you're, you know, single, old, and alone. So, so there was all these facts that were in the paper that we kind of like bring up in the narrative, where it's like, you know, oh, single, hoarding is a disorder that affects mostly middle-aged single women. I was like, where did that come from? Actually, and if you, when I was Googling it, you know, a great reference tool, Google, I couldn't really find a whole lot of information on hoarding, but actually groups like the Animal Legal Defense Fund, and I would imagine the Humane Society have a lot of information about hoarding because it is a huge problem. So,
Burroughs had his fair collection of cats, apparently.
William S. Burroughs did?
He had a couple of cats. His house, he had a kitty litter on the main floor, and his whole house stunk of cat pee.
Wow.
I don't know if he had a lot of cats, but he had a couple. It was known for his house smelling of cat pee. That's one of my favorite writers.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm actually reading a biography of his unfortunate son.
Have you read his son's books?
I've read Speed.
It's excellent. Kentucky Ham?
It's a pretty good book,
Kentucky Ham? Even better.
Yeah, well, I had that book where they both came in. It was like a double book,
yeah.
Speed and Kentucky Ham, so it was kind of short. Yeah, it was pretty good. It sounds like he hit a pretty... I think I like Burroughs better as a writer, but...
The senior?
Yes, but...
Kentucky Ham might change your viewpoints. I was really blown away with his ability to tell a story, and, you know, I think he's a writer who had a lot of potential, who unfortunately died before his time.
Ugh, died a horrible death, too.
Like liver failure or something.
Colostomy bags, everything.
There's a great documentary.
It doesn't get grosser.
It doesn't. Pee in a bag. There's a great documentary I recommend with both of them in it, and to see the relationship between them. It's really, really odd. I'm going to play another song. I think I'm going to play some Bow Wow Wow.
Yay.
Off the Marie Antoinette soundtrack, Fools Rush In remix by Mr. Kevin Shields. Kevin, we want another By Bloody Valentine album. Mm-hmm. Kale stuff.
Are you spoiling songs for us all day?
Yeah. Oh. Hey, I didn't spoil Love Cats. That song spoiled itself. Oh. That was off the Marie Antoinette soundtrack. And I was just telling my fine guest here, well, guest and co-host and weird guy in the corner that's looking at me. Marie Antoinette, beautiful movie. Really, it's Coppola does a great job. You know, she's really picked up where her dad gave up doing good movies and doing John Grisham things, and really did a beautiful job with the Marie Antoinette fusing the pop 80s new wave pop sensibilities. I mean, you gotta love when New Order's Ceremony song is used in anything. It's the first song they recorded after he anchored it, and it's actually Joy Division. He wrote the lyrics and stuff, so I'll shut up, Dale.
That's an interesting music nerd fact that I did not know.
And they don't get much nerdier than me. Excuse my voice a little. I'm recovering from a cold, but I'm better now. I had an exam the other morning. It was not fun being sick while doing exams. Now, we're talking about Pet Noir. Tonight, Shannon will be at Sophia Books, somewhere on Hastings Street, West Hastings Street, just a couple blocks east of Granville.
I think it's Hastings and Homer.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Homer, yeah. Or Seymour or Richards. Richards, maybe.
One of those.
One of those. If anyone knows, feel free to call in 822-2487. What's the name of Paris Hilton's dog? Come on, we got a copy of Ride in here.
Or if you are too shy to call in and you just want to come by the signing tonight, we'll even save one for you there.
Or Stefan Dion's dog. I'm trying to do the CanCon.
I don't know. I'm so un-Canadian, though. I don't know that well.
Well, he doesn't either, and he's Canadian.
And I'm a political science
dude. As we say in California, hella Canadian.
What?
What does that mean?
Don't use these new terms on Colin. He's going
to
rupture.
He's going to combust.
Hella Canadian? What does that
holla,
mean?
Holla.
What is that?
Okay, let's get back on topic here. Let's talk about some more of the stories within the Pet Noir. It seems like you guys had a lot of interesting times, a lot of research putting it together. One of my favorite, more personal ones was the Grey Ghost Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that Melanie, that's her dog.
Yes, it was her childhood dog. I think that's probably when I received the story. Back when everybody sent the stories in, I was so her name of her self published comic is P.S. Comics, and she does these great stories about Yorkshire Terriers. So when I knew that I wanted her to like do a story like after I read some of them, and she completely delivered with that Grey Ghost story. It's about her dog that was in the family car when the car was stolen while they were on vacation, and then she imagines what might have happened to the dog.
It's a sweet tale.
It's very cute. Yeah, she just actually did a really great mini comic, which everybody should get if they can find it. I think Global Hobo. If you go to globalhobo.com, is a mini comics distributor. I think they might have copies of it. I think it's called Just This Side of Heaven. But it's about what happens when her boyfriend, who's actually also a cartoonist, Damien Jay, when they moved in together and their cats had to adjust to each other. And then she's kind of imagining, like, the cats, you know, getting in arguments with each other and, like, posting mean comments on each other's MySpace pages. So yeah, she's definitely a cartoonist to watch out for.
My friends were mean to me on MySpace. I had a huge zit on my forehead, and I posted a picture of it on MySpace, and people still comment about it. I scarred some people, I guess, by the picture of my zit, but
still.
And then I go to visit my friend in his hair salon, like, oh hey, oh it's good to see your huge boils gone. Like, thanks.
Yeah,
of course, I guess it doesn't help to talk about this on air.
It could maybe make it worse.
Maybe it was a mistake posting it in the first place.
You're just host now, Colin.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, Colin.
So what's this about celebrities? You're working on a project about celebrities?
Are you talking about from my bio?
Mm-hmm.
I maintain a blog. It's at starryshine.net, and it's about this imaginary Paris Hilton type of character named Starryshine Price, and she's sort of like, if there is such a thing, like a D-list Paris Hilton, and it's actually...
Yeah, her name's Tara Reid. Oh!
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 So...
Oh?
It's... Oh!
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 Oh! There we go.
Oh! But yeah, so that's how I sort of get my celebrity gossip fix out of the way. It's for a novel that I'm collaborating on with somebody.
Now, I think that's kind of a good segue that Colin set up there.
Oh, it is! Nice, Colin!
Excellent segue-age.
Not great celebrity dog name knowledge, but great segue-age.
Now, I'm gonna ruin it. I'm going to say Paris Hilton's dog name, and if you call in and say that name, you're paying attention, you get a copy of the book.
Yeah.
Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
Isn't that the worst name ever for a dog?
It's pretty trite. It's trite.
And recently, one of the Britney Spears pictures with her and her really bad wig, because she shaved her head, is a picture of her with a dog in the Paris Hilton site. It's like, oh my god, no, take it away before she kills it.
I know. That's troubling. There's actually video footage of that at TMZ of her sitting in the front seat of, like, some car that's being swarmed with paparazzi.
Can you imagine being that dog? Dogs can kind of sense when you're crazy, and she is nuts.
Yeah. She's nuts.
She's nuts. Brittany? I never thought I'd say this. I'm like, K-Fed, you're not looking so bad right now.
I know. Well, you know.
She stepped up for.
Yeah. Nobody ever thought that they could. You know, the thing was, like, right after they got divorced, everybody was saying, like, oh, now she's going to reinvent herself and everything. And
oh, she did. She did reinvent herself. Yeah. Into a, I don't know. Sinead O'Connor's drunk cousin.
Sinead O'Connor's drunk, completely superfluous cousin.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed that she stays in the hab.
Let's hope you make it through, Brittany, because Lord knows the world needs more out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, in that case, we would probably want her to stay as drunk as possible.
I don't think she'd ever have a touch, even if she was sober. And that's the best part, is now Christina Aguilera is really not looking so bad.
Oh, yeah, Christina Aguilera.
She's totally, like, you know, got her shit together.
Yeah, she's like a Mensa, you know, like PhD.
Comparisons to Britney's.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, we just got a couple more minutes left.
I don't get.
I don't understand
this whole celebrity thing, I'm afraid.
Colin wishes we were making celebrity jokes about Winston Churchill and Thomas Dulles.
Yeah, Colin is actually probably why he likes Pet Noirs, because it's poking fun at the media's obsession with stupid news stories. Excellent. News stories that don't talk about the real picture.
Yeah, well, a good example of that is the dog mauling case in there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just amazing, the amount of coverage that received, especially when, like, I think it was going on when the 2000 election was going on.
Now, in Vancouver, that actually happens quite frequently, as a lot of people will get pit bulls as pets, and...
There actually were not pit bulls, they were Presa Canarios, which are actually, they're dogs that were breeded just to be attack dogs.
Mexican guard dogs, aren't they?
Yeah. And they're, but, yeah. So you were saying about pit bulls.
Well, we have quite a problem up here with people getting pit bulls and think they'll be fine pets. And,
Well, there was just a case recently of a three or four-year-old boy mm-hmm. who was mauled to death by a couple of pit bulls that had been left. He'd been left alone with them. And the parents never see this thing coming at all. There's been a lot of talk about actually banning breeds.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I think is the case. Maybe I'm wrong. Since reviewing a lot of these cases, and is that a lot of dogs can be trained to be attack dogs, and that's where the trouble can lie, as opposed to like the actual breed themselves.
And that I'll say is pretty true, because my experience, I used to work with street kids who would have pets, and I've met some of the sweetest pit bulls. These pit bulls, we call them the gay pit bulls, you know.
I have a neighbor who has a pit bull, and it's the sweetest dog. I've never even seen it so much as bark. Yeah. You know?
No, and it really does a lot come down to, you know, parentage,
guardians is what
guardians. Wardship.
The IDA, in defense of animals, they have a guardian campaign where they want animals to be, they want owners to be considered not owners of pets, but guardians of them. Like guardians, kind of how you would look out for their interests as opposed to treating them like a possession.
So they're like children.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. But I guess they're always going to be kids. They're not going to become emancipated. Or grow into maturity at some point.
A pedipated?
Oh. A pedipated.
So I'm going to finish off the show with Hungry Like a Wolf.
Oh, yay. Must you?
Yes, I must. And the reason, before we leave, is I want to hear a little of... Simon Le Bon. You've got him on your MySpace page. Two different pictures. Two different outfits of Simon.
Well, you know, actually, Mari Naomi is one of my best friends. She did the illustration for the dog mauling case story and wrote the Tiger's Tail story, which I illustrated that we were talking about. And she, in 2005, late 2005... you know, I was depressed. Like, a boyfriend had just broken up with me, and she, like, sent me an email and said, "Hey, do you want to go to a party at Andre Agassi's house with Duran Duran?" And I was like, "Yeah, I totally want this to be the week that I partied with Duran Duran at Andre Agassi's house, as opposed to have my boyfriend dump me." And so we went to, we just went there. They were kind of like, well, I know this might break some hearts, but they were a little sleazy. They had just, like, asked, like, Mari was working with with the chef who worked at one of Andre Agassi's restaurants. And he was, Duran Duran was hanging out at their house recording their new album. And they were like, bring some girls over to the house. So,
oh, no.
So we went over there and, like...
Coke on the table and...
No, there was no signs of alcohol. But we stole some tennis balls from Andre Agassi's court. And Mari actually stole some unmentionables from one of the band members. Which are prized possessions now, but we got some pretty good pictures out of it.
Simon Le Bon's tidy whiteies. You heard it here first.
Boxers or briefs?
Boxer briefs.
The combination. One of my friends was a t-shirt boy for this Vancouver band.
A t-shirt boy?
For Images in Vogue. And they actually went on tour, and they were a crappy Canadian band. They opened for Turn Around, yada, yada, yada. My story. The next show is almost here. I gotta finish.
Stephen Dion's dog is named Kyoto.
Kyoto. Oh, the irony. So tonight, Sophia Books, come meet Shannon.
Yeah, please come by, and I'll like I said, you come by, say you listen to the show today. I have a free copy of the book for you.
And I will be there as well. I'll probably be drinking somewhere in a corner because I feel like it.
I'll probably be drinking after.
Yeah, so I'll be drinking after. And also, don't forget, Saturday night, Robin Bucci will be launching Sleazy Slice and the new issue of Cinema Sewer, both in one night. And the cover of Sleazy Slice, Bucci, you have stepped it up a notch. You ready, guys? Let's rock. Up next, Crimes and Treasons.
There's a fire. tomorrow.